passage I'm going to go from. It's Luke chapter 2. And I have three things this morning in the time that we have left. There's three things that I'm going to say that I want to say up front may, I don't want to say offend, but may bother some of you at different points. And I just want to say that right up front. And the first is, we're not going to dig a lot into the scriptures this morning, but we're going to talk about a very biblical, very Christian practice, that's hospitality. And so in the sermon notes that you've either received already or you can get from the back, there's some more scripture to dig into. And so part of this morning has been crafted specifically to, there's some follow-up work that you can do to really dig in. So that's the first thing that some people, if we don't get into the Bible and I don't have my Bible open and read through a passage you don't feel like you've been preached to, well, you can do some of your own preaching to yourself if you feel that you haven't gotten full value this morning. So that's the first thing. Second is, well, we'll get to it in a minute. We're going to talk about spiritual discipline of hospitality. And we often may not think of hospitality as a discipline, but it is. This whole year, the first Sunday of every month, we've been looking at a different spiritual discipline: prayer, worship, fasting, celebration. All spiritual disciplines are is activities that help us prepare to or help us follow the leading of God in our lives. They're not to be a source of pride that we measure ourselves by. Just habits that help us love God and love others. That's all spiritual disciplines are designed to do. Help us love God more and help us live out His love for others. And so our last habit this year is going to be the discipline of hospitality. Now, the passage that Ron read, I'm curious, Ron, do you know offhand what translation did you read from? Ron doesn't know. Perfect. Jen, do you know what translation? NIV. Did anyone catch the last phrase that Ron read? There was no, his translation, NIV had guest room. Most translations have the word in. See, here's the second thing that may cause a little bit of consternation for some of us. This is a statue of a scholar in Spain, El Brocense. Now, this guy in 1584, see, we're going back, 500 years. This is just right back. He said something that I found it hilarious, Sam, you used the word Inquisition. He was put under arrest by the Spanish Inquisition for teaching the exact thing that I'm about to teach to you. So, please don't arrest me after. I'd like to come out of here in one piece. But see, there's that very famous phrase from Luke chapter 2, verse 7. The phrase, there is no room for them in the inn. That word inn is not the right word. It's been an incorrect assumption put into the translation long before 1584. See, he taught that the word inn shouldn't be inn. It should be guest room. It should be upper room. See, later on in Luke's gospel, same book of the Bible, when Jesus and his disciples celebrate the Last Supper, Passover together, they went to the upper room. See, in Jesus' day, houses, they had your main level, which is a large open area, and then there would have been an upper, like a second level, there was an upper room. That was the room for guests. See, Bethlehem was a village that was a nothing village in Jesus' day. It wasn't big enough to have an inn. See, the word in the Greek that's translated inn is actually a word for lodging. It's a very general word. Interesting, Luke also uses the specific Greek word for inn in his gospel. It's in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke knew the specific word for inn. It wasn't an inn that there was no room at. It was that Mary and Joseph, this is Joseph's hometown. He has family there. Why did he have to go there for the census? Because it was his hometown. There was no room for them in the upper room, in the guest room, so the family brought them into the main area of the house where the animals were kept. This is common everyday Jewish custom and practice. But as centuries went by and as translators went, culture changes. See, still today, it's a very Middle Eastern practice. Hospitality is a cultural virtue. Why does this matter? Who cares? Whether it was an inn, whether it was a house, a room. This is what it has to do with hospitality. See, Mary and Joseph were not turned away. Their family didn't go to them. Hey, Joseph, sorry, the upper room is full. We already have people there. There's no room for you there. Well, we can't put you there. We've already got people there. They did the best they could. They gave to Mary and Joseph space, room. They made room. Today at our house, we're going to have 14 extra bodies in our house, which is awesome. From a logistics standpoint, Bridget and I spent time talking about how are we going to work, where everyone's going to sit to eat. Ever had that conversation? Right? Why do you bother having that conversation? Why do we not just go, well, wait a second, we have room for, yeah, I can fit 14 at the table, 14 plus 6, well, we're just going to have to drop off. Six people just aren't going to be able to eat. You don't have that conversation. You don't say that. No, you figure out how are we going to get everyone to be as comfortable as possible? How can we make people feel as much at home as possible? That's what was happening here in this Christmas, the Christmas story. So, again, I know we've done a number of years the scene with the innkeeper and turning them away. Sorry, that didn't happen. Ever. Don't put me under house arrest. See, this idea, though, of hospitality matters to us because hospitality was a basic, core Christian practice. Romans 12:13, Paul wrote, always be eager to practice hospitality. Always. So it's a Greek word that means all the time. Right? Always be ready. Jesus, in his parable of the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25, right, where the sheep are welcomed by the king, the goats are sent away, and the criteria, one of the criteria by which to differentiate who was who, which was which, Jesus said was those who showed hospitality to strangers. You welcomed strangers. Well, when did we welcome strangers? Well, whenever, you know, when did we welcome you, Jesus? Well, whenever you welcomed a stranger, you were welcoming me. Hebrews 13:2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Referring back to Genesis 18, where Abraham at that time, his name had been changed, Abraham was sitting and he saw those three men. And he welcomed them, not realizing that they were angels, but they were strangers just walking. He went out and welcomed them. In the sermon note sheets you received, I've given you again, there's some other passages. Do you know that whether or not someone showed hospitality was actually a criteria for whether someone could be a leader in the church? That's how basic hospitality was viewed in the early church. In fact, widows over 60. Do you know that Paul taught that you were not to be supported by the church if you were not hospitable? That's how basic a practice hospitality is to be amongst us as followers of Jesus. Now, when you think of hospitality, what do you think of? This is audience participation time. When you hear the word hospitality, what do you think of? What comes to mind? Food, open your doors. What else? Food's always good. What else? Food, open doors. Volunteering. Okay, sorry, I heard. Fellowship. Place to sleep. The New Testament word hospitality literally translates to love of strangers. So we're going to get a lot of history lessons today, apparently. Our English word hospitality comes from a Latin word hospis, which actually meant both guest and host. I still can't wrap my head around that, but that's what the word meant. And over time, it was then linked to way stations to travelers who were going on pilgrimage, that monks would set up places. Usually we'd say hostels. They were called hospices in the 11th century, where travelers who would be going on the roads, they knew they could find a place where they would be welcome, and they would find food, and they would find shelter. And then eventually, hospice became associated with care for the terminally ill. Right? Words change over time. And so this Latin word hospice, hospitality, went from love of stranger to be associated with care for the sick or the needy, right? Hospitals. And hospitality came to be more that idea of fellowship, of sharing with those who are like you, and it moved away. The language just carried the meaning of the word away from the New Testament idea that hospitality was love of strangers. In other words, as Christians, you don't have to be like us for us to welcome you. You don't have to be like me for me to act in love towards you. You know, hospitality isn't just about opening our homes to others, though that's a potentially strong practice, an element of it. Hospitality is about embracing others into our lives wherever we find ourselves. I was reading this week about a story of a doctor's office. And there was an elderly man who was in a wheelchair and was brought into the doctor's office, and it became known that he was going to be getting a needle. And this four-year-old boy came and went, you know, and took the elderly gentleman's hands and goes, "That's okay, they scare me too." Yeah, we all laugh. Now, what do you think would have happened in the heart of that elderly gentleman towards that four-year-old boy? There's a connection. Now, that's a really simple story. It's a really simplistic example. But the idea about hospitality is that we are called to be hospitable everywhere we are. Hospitality is about acting towards people in a way that will give them space to just be themselves and sets the stage to allow them, if they so choose, but allow them space to be open about where they are, what's going on in their life, whether needs they have or joys they have. It's allowing them to be who they are without requiring them to put on a show or a facade. Right? You know the difference. There's people that they're kind to you, they're happy towards you, but you know that you really can't be you, or you really can't share certain things because, well, you'll get judged for it. And then you have those people where you know you can tell them whatever you want, whatever you need to. And they may not agree with it, They may not be happy about it, but they'll listen and they'll care. It's the latter that's hospitality. That's what we're called to. Hospitality is giving the opportunity for a person to receive care. It's providing friendship with someone who may be a stranger. Hospitality, I'm just going to throw this in. Hospitality is not entertaining, right? You know, there's times where you put on the big to-do and you get out the china and you put on the big, you know, I don't want to say big show. But you're painting life as you wish it could be, or life at its best, or whatever the case. And it's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm just saying, let's not confuse hospitality and entertaining. Entertaining is you're putting on a bit of a show, not in a bad way, but a bit of a show. You're making it an event. And events are great. Hospitality is allowing a person to join your life just as it is. And some days in your life are events, but not every day. Hospitality is putting all of our focus on our guests. Loving people as they are. I mean, that's the example of Jesus. Think of who Jesus connected to in his life. Even if it was only a one-time meeting or the first-time meeting. Jesus and the woman at the well. He knows just by the fact of when she's going to draw water that she's a woman with a past. And Jesus doesn't care that she's a woman. He doesn't care that she's a Samaritan. And he doesn't care that she's someone with a past to connect with her. Jesus was hospitable to the religious. He would sit and eat with the Pharisees. Jesus would connect with the socially despised, like Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus would connect with the spiritually curious, like Nathanael. Right, Nathanael, John chapter 1. He gets told, hey, come see, we found the Messiah. Ooh, Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth, what can come from there? Well, come and see. Jesus doesn't care that his hometown just got mocked. He still looks to embrace, move towards Nathanael. Jesus was comfortable with sinners. He was comfortable with saints. And both were comfortable with him. The only ones who really weren't comfortable with Jesus were the saints who didn't want to associate with the sinners. Hospitality is just simply a basic form of loving others as we've been loved by God. Did God require us to be any different from what we were when he invited us into his kingdom, into his family? Did he require us to change, to clean up, to get our lives right before he would move towards us in love? This is why hospitality is such a basic Christian practice. And so I thought, hey, December, what better month for us to begin thinking about hospitality? Because how many events are you going to be going to? Or how many events are you going to be hosting? That's great. You have a great opportunity to already think about hospitality. And that doesn't mean put the china away and, you know, not clean the house. I'm not meaning anything like that. It's about our attitude towards those that we are hosting. But hospitality, again, goes further than just our homes. I want you to think about this month. And again, there's sheets at the back, if you don't have one already, of just some other ideas of how to practically practice hospitality. But I want us to start now. I want us to start this morning. And so I've got I'm going to finish this morning. I have three goals for us. I have a short-term goal, a mid-term goal, and a long-term goal. So here's my short-term goal. Before you leave this morning, would you have a 3-minute conversation with someone you don't know? Remember, hospitality is love of stranger. You may know their name, but you don't know them. And so, again, I recognize that some of you may have somewhere you need to go. 3 minutes. So, and all of us know this, so that if someone's talking to you and they're looking at their watch, don't be offended. Probably not the best practice or use of hospitality, but baby steps, it's okay. Just assume that they have somewhere they need to go to right away. And they've chosen you to spend that 3 minutes with. So even if they look at their watch, take it as an act of honor. 3 minutes before you leave. And here's the thing. I'd like you to do this not just this morning. Every time we gather together, would you just take 3 minutes to talk with someone you don't know or don't know well? I mean, we're family. So we can practice on each other. And if we get it a little wrong, we'll give grace and we'll give forgiveness, because there's lots of people we're going to meet in life that we can take that skill, because some of us just aren't good at small talk. Some of you, 3 minutes will feel like an eternity. It's okay. It's 180 seconds. We can do it together. There's the short-term goal. Would you just 3 minutes every time we gather? And you can even take that into other areas. You go into a doctor's office, try to strike up a 3-minute conversation. See where God takes it. See what connections maybe you form. Midterm goal. This may be not the month to start this. Maybe it is. Think about starting a practice of once a month, when you come on a Sunday morning, once a month to invite someone you don't know back to your house for lunch. Or if your practice is to head to Swiss Chalet, that was for you, Brian. Invite them. Pay their bill. Or even just invite that once a month, I'm going to bring someone back and get to know them. Again, for some of you, you might start shaking at the idea, or I won't have enough, or what. Hospitality isn't about putting on the best. Hospitality is welcoming the person. And I want you to add to that. Maybe start with once a month someone here at church, and then start asking God, once a month, who's someone in my neighborhood? Who's someone in my building? Who's someone from my workplace that I can invite to lunch? Or I can invite back to my house for supper? Or just start inviting. Older couples, invite younger couples. That's actually part of the practice of the early church. Widows were to encourage and help young wives. Older couples, build relations with some of us younger ones, because you've been through it all. Widows, young moms, widowers, young guys. That's part of what the church did. We've gone away from that. Now I'm going to close with my long-term goal. And here's where I feel a little bit like that Spanish scholar you saw a statue of. If anything this morning is going to get me in hot water with some of you, what I'm about to say is, here is my long-term goal for us as a church. One of the things that I would love to see us be able to say with authenticity anytime we gather together And I'm going to read it now. Can you put the slide? This is what I'd love us to be able to say as a church. All are welcome here. But we extend a special welcome to those who are married, single, divorced, gay, lesbian, transgender, filthy rich, dirt poor, new Canadians, or who can trace their roots to the days of Upper and Lower Canada. We welcome you if you can sing like an angel or can't carry a tune in a bucket. You're welcome if you're just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail. We don't care if you're more Catholic than the Pope or you're a hardened atheist. We extend a special welcome to old men who are still like little boys and to teenagers who are growing all too fast. We welcome soccer moms, starving artists, tree huggers, vegetarians, and latte drinkers. We welcome those in recovery and those who are still addicted. If you're having problems and are down in the dumps, you're welcome here. If you're suspicious of organized religion, we would love to talk. We even welcome Maple Leafs fans who think there's a parade coming this year. Here you can vote Conservative, Liberal, NDP, Green, even Bloc Québécois or for the Communist Party. Please understand, we're not stuck on a political agenda. We're stuck on Jesus and seek to live out his teachings. We figure if we follow his teachings, the world will be a better place for all, even those who aren't interested in Jesus. If you blew all your money at the casino last night, that's okay. You're still welcome here. We offer a special welcome to those who think the earth is flat, Elvis is alive, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or are here because grandma offered you lunch if you came with her to church. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, or both. We offer a special welcome to those who could use someone to pray with or for them, and to those who had religion shoved down their throats as a kid or just got lost this morning and somehow wound up here by mistake. We welcome tourists, seekers, doubters, bleeding hearts, and the emotionally repressed. In other words, we welcome you. That's a wonderful idea. That's much harder to live out. And we practice, you know, we will get there. By practicing hospitality, it's love of others. And so when you see someone who's different than you, rather than going, wow, they're different, and withdraw, let's remember that God loved us while we were different. And in his love and by his Spirit, let's take a step towards. So here's the final question for you just to think about this week. How will you allow Jesus to work on your heart towards those who you struggle to show hospitality towards? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that though while we were different, you loved us. And Father, forgive us. We don't always get that right. In fact, there's some people, Lord, you know, in our lives, we just don't get it right at all. Holy Spirit, teach us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've forgiven us. And Father God, thank you that you've called us to those who are strangers to us, but loved deeply by you. And so, Lord, as we leave here this morning, Holy Spirit, teach us hospitality, that we may, in a stronger way, love those made in your image that you love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So remember your homework. 3 minutes before you leave. Blessings on you this week.